What's up, heroes? This is James. Welcome to Restoring Heroes Project. I'm not doing anything at all. But look, I got a whole lot to say in a little bit of time, so I need you to pay attention. What we're gonna talk about today is Jordan Peterson correct? Now, if you follow Jordan Peterson and you've been paying attention to him, he had a message for the church. And then the big thing he was talking about is masculinity. And how the church needs to open the doors or let the young men know that they're welcome in the church. Me at Restoring Heroes, us being a biblical masculine channel, you know, I couldn't help but to talk about this. So is Jordan Peterson right? Let's talk about it. Let me go here.
Children. Boys are hectored for their toy preferences, which often include toy weapons such as guns, and their more boisterous playing style, as boys require active rough and tumble play, even more than girls, for whom it is also a necessity. When in grade school, boys are admonished, shamed, and controlled in a very similar manner by those who think that play is unnecessary, particularly if it's competitive, and who value a docile, harmless obedience above all.
Overall mentality, the worldly mentality about masculinity and how vilified it is, how young boys are being, I don't know what word to use, but they're being ostracized, they're being try to get pressed and molded into being very docile and very weak. And you can see it. You can see it if you open your eyes to even the things that little boys used to hold strongly to, hold as idols. So a Superman or a Batman character, those guys are now, if you look in the comic books and things like that, those guys are now leaning towards homosexuality, or the superheroes are now being beat by females, and it's like the strength of masculinity is taken away. I'm gonna keep on going just because I think it's very, very important. But as I was saying, so the masculine nature of boys, and I see it because I'm a school teacher, a masculinity of boys, the female behavior is congratulated more. The boy that is more competitive, more aggressive, wants to do hands-on, is not as welcome in the school when they want you to sit down for 5 to 6 hours and listen to someone talk. So they give them medication and such. Let's keep it moving.
Shades of Dolores Umbridge. Following all that, because that's not enough, even when pursued assiduously for total demoralization, is the inculcation of an extremely damaging ideology, which essentially consists of three accusations.
Listen very closely to these accusations against masculinity, and let me know if you feel Jordan Peterson is wrong.
Number one, human culture, particularly in the West, is best construed as an oppressive patriarchy, motivated by the desire, willingness, and ability to use power, defined as the compulsion of others against their will, to attain what are purely selfish and self-serving ends. This is true at every level of analysis. Marriage is akin to slavery, friendship to exploitation, political disagreement to war, and business arrangements to deception and theft. And this is true not only of the current social arrangements that characterize our culture, particularly in the West, but also the fundamental reality of history itself. Accusation number two. Human activity, particularly that undertaken in the West, is fundamentally a planet-despoiling enterprise. The human race is a threat to the ecological utopia that existed before us and that could hypothetically exist in our absence. We might well be construed even as a cancer that threatens the very viability of the complex systems that make up the ecosystem of the earth that shelters and supports us.
Now, let me stop right there. The first two, one, every relationship in the West particularly is built on a oppressor, oppressive or oppressive and oppressed a relationship. So marriage is akin to slavery. So if you're married, you're enslaving your wife, you're making her do things she don't want to do and all that. That's the first point. The second point is that the world, we as human beings are a cancer to the very earth that we occupy. Now, why I stop this here is because we know in Genesis that God created men or man, mankind and men specifically to be a husbandman of the earth, to cultivate, to tame, to rule over, to bend, to mold, to shape, to do all these things for God's glory. God created men specifically and mankind to do this to the earth. So we're not cancers to the earth. No. We are the reason the earth is flourishing. Men are the reason the earth is flourishing. Civilizations are happening. It's because of men, and by proxy, mankind. So that's why I stopped it there. I'm not as smart as this guy. I'm not going to use all those fancy words, but you know what I'm saying.
We are facing a Malthusian catastrophe of overpopulation and biosphere degradation. And we have to place extreme limits on our wants, even our needs, so that survival itself, even in a much reduced form, can be guaranteed. Accusation number three. The prime contributor both to the tyranny that makes up the oppressive patriarchy and structures all of our social interactions, past and present, and the unforgivable despoiling of our beloved Mother Earth is damnable male ambition, competitive and dominating, power-mad, selfish, exploitative, raping and pillaging.
You heard that, right? So third accusation is all man's fault. All man's fault. Not only men, but all biological man's fault. All men. Patriarchy. The patriarchy is his fault, and we all y'all do is fight and war and pillage and these men. It's all men's fault. Let's keep it rapping.
You might think that I'm overstating the case. Think again, sunshine. We in the West are facing an all-out assault at the deepest levels on what that old joker Jacques Derrida deemed the phallogocentric conceptual structure of civilization itself.
Now, there's a whole lot of ads in here. Let's get back to it.
To take that apart, that's a society centered on the encouraging, adventurous, masculine spirit, and that privileges that hated word of all things, the divine logos. And what should we worship and celebrate properly other than that, deconstructionists? The words of that mass murderer, Karl Marx?
So, one thing that stood out to me is in this swirling of a whole lot of words is the passion he has for the masculine, that he realizes, even though what Doug Wilson say in his reaction to this, even though he has a crooked foundation, he realizes that civilizations were built on masculine, adventurous things. Masculine and adventurous things. We as men are meant to go and conquer, go and survey, go and be dangerous and go to unknown lands and tame that land and create new societies and doing all these things. It is our calling as men to do so. So, I ask you again, is Jordan Peterson wrong? Let's see.
And it is precisely those young men who are deeply conscientious, capable of guilt and regret, who have come to believe in pain that every deep impulse that moves them out into the world for the adventure of their life, even that impulse drawing them to women, is nothing but the manifestation of a spirit that is essentially satanic in nature.
Now, he is not lying. I've been reading his book called The Blueprint of Masculinity by Stephen, however you want to pronounce it, Casper. And he talks about in the 1800s that there was a push to make the values of Christianity feminine in nature. So women's qualities were lauded as more godly than qualities of men. So Michael Foster says it like this, that it was presented as feminine angels and masculine devils. Everything that a woman does is naturally out of her, naturally holy. And everything that a man does is naturally sinful. Do you see that in the church? Do you see that in the church, that pastors can talk about men's problems and things that have to do with men with such visceral and such anger and such how dare you and such all these things, but when it comes to the women, before it even gets to the point about women's sin, which gossip and being vain and wanting to be viewed sexually and wanting people to look at them and give them attention, all these things that women do that are sinful, before they do that, there's qualifications after qualification after qualification. I don't mean all women. I don't mean some. And my wife is not like that. Ooh, I love you, but all the things before the pastor says something that will get him in trouble at home with his wife, he has to do all these qualifications. But when it comes to the men, oh, they cut straight to the thick. When it comes to the men, they cut straight to the thick. It's the old Mother's Day sermon is about building women up. Father's Day sermon is about telling men how horrible they are and how they need to step up. You see it? I see it too. Let's get back to it.
This is not only wrong theologically, morally, psychologically, practically, and scientifically. It is literally anti-true. It's not a mere misstatement about the nature of reality, a minor conceptual error, but something that literally could not be farther from the truth. And something that distant from the truth comes from a place that cannot be distinguished from hell. The Christian church is there to remind people, young men included, and perhaps even first and foremost, that they have a woman to find, a garden to walk in, a family to nurture, an ark to build, a land to conquer.
Okay. I've watched a whole lot of reviews about this particular video from Jordan Peterson, from John Harris to from John Harris to Doug Wilson to the guys from Cross Politic and things like that. And I hear what they're saying. I really do. Doug Wilson had the most balanced approach to me personally, I think, but what I'm seeing and what bothers me about this is this guy with a crooked foundation is saying what every church needs to be saying to young men. Is saying what every church needs to be saying to the men. Is saying with passion, with vigor, what men need. That's why he's so popular. That's why, pastors, you're losing your men, your young man, to a Jordan Peterson, to a Joe Rogan, to who's his new guy, Andrew Tate, to a Gary Vaynerchuk, to all these guys who speak truth direct truth, no holds barred truth, and gives them clear cut direction. Why is Jordan Peters, I haven't heard many people say this yet, but why is Jordan Peterson saying and seeing things that our churches should be saying and seeing? I don't get it and I don't understand it. Somebody help me in a comment. Somebody help me. I want to know. Let's keep it moving.
A ladder to heaven to build and the utter terrible catastrophe of life to face stalwartly in truth, devoted to love and without fear. Invite the young men back. Say literally to those young men, you are welcome here. If no one else wants what you have to offer, we do. We want to call you to the highest purpose of your...
Not only are you welcome at church, bring your masculinity too. I borrowed that from Doug Wilson. That's very, very important. You don't have to leave your masculinity at the door at church to come to church. You are welcome. You're welcome. Bring your masculine strength, bring your masculine vigor, bring the grunt, bring the rawness, bring the ruggedness, bring all that to God. And he will change you through the power of the Holy Spirit to be a mighty man of valor, to be a warrior that worships the one true King. And we can go into battle together against the kingdom of darkness. Men, you are wanted. Men, you are needed. Because what Jordan Peterson is realizing, and the world has already figured this out. I was talking to a friend earlier today. The world has already figured this out. If you get the men, the world will follow. So what the world does, if you weaken the men, the whole world will go into chaos. And don't you see it? See, it started out with making men bumbling idiots in media. It started like that. So it started with the Al Bundys. It started with the Homer Simpsons. It started further back with the Gomer Pals. And it started with those things when you started making men look foolish. And back in those days, you had a balance, right? You had the foolish guy and you had an Andy Griffin. You had a Barney Fife and you had Andy Griffin that balances out foolishness with wisdom and sound teaching. But now, so years and years of doing that, making the father the brunt of the jokes, making the father the foolish person, making the father, even in shows like Bill Cosby, which you've seen, he's a little bit more solid, but he was kind of a goof. It was okay though. But you see that all of a sudden the man is taken out of a spot of authority. And now we, yes, dear, now we have to answer to the women. Now we have to, and you start doing that and creating chaos. And you start, now we're to the point where men are not important. Men don't have an authority. Men don't have a spot. Men have no rights. You see it in the divorce in the court system, when it comes to custody, when it comes to all these things, right? You see all this chaos because the world understands when you destroy the man, everything else will, you can grab everything else. When you bind up the strong man, you can spoil the goods. So now you have transgender or men dressing up like women as admirals, as getting women of the year, even though they haven't been women all their life, how you become a woman of the year. You have all these things happening because what? The world understands if you get the men out of the way, you can get to the women and children, and there's nothing they could. The evil patriarchy understands either you use a man, which is the transgender movement, LGBT movement, all that's of you, use the man, you pacify the man with video games, pornography, things that makes him distracted and don't make him productive as a man, or you kill him. or you kill him. So the world understands that. The evil patriarch understands that. Now what the church needs to understand, if you get the man, everything else will fall in line. You get the man, you'll get the family. You get the man, you'll get his son. You get the man, you'll get his daughter. You get the man, you'll get his wife. You will get the, if you get the man, you get him to understand the word of God. You get him to have strong theology. You get him to have strong convictions and stand. You get him to be strong and courageous. Get him to provide, protect, and be the priest of his home. You'll get everything else will fall in line. The world is understanding that and they're destroying us. The church needs to understand that and get that. And that's what, so all that to say, when he says that, when Jordan Peterson is saying, you need to say that young men are welcome here, is Jordan Peterson wrong? Let's keep it going.
Your life. We want your time and energy and effort and your will and your goodwill. We want to work with you to make things better, to produce life more abundant for you and for your wife and children and for your community and your country and the world.
Now, we want you to come to church so you to be saved, for you to be whole in Jesus Christ, for you to repent of your sins and be right with God. And because you do that, the blessing of the Lord will follow by proxy. It just will automatically happen. But you don't come to the Lord to have a good life. That's where he kind of fell off. But you don't come to the Lord to have a good life. You come to the Lord because your life is trash anyway. And without repenting to God, your life is sinful. Without repenting to God and giving your all to Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell. That's why you give your life up. Because Jesus Christ is just better than sin. And there's other theological things that I'm not throwing in there, and I might say something wrong, but it's not just so you can have a good life. It's so you could be forgiven of your sins, because your sins are egregious. So are mine.
And we have our problems in the Christian church. We are moribund and sometimes far too often corrupt and sometimes deeply so. We are outdated, as are all institutions, with their roots in the dead but still often wise past. So join us. We'll help fix you up, and you can help fix us up. And together, we'll aim up. And here is a message to those young men skeptical about such things. What else do you have? You can abandon the churches in your cynicism and disbelief. You can say to yourself, narcissistically and solipsistically, the church does not express what I believe properly. Who cares what you believe? Why is this about you? Do you even want it to be about you? What if it was about others? What if it was about your duty to the past and to the broader community that surrounds you in the present?
It's not about you. That is, you understand what he's saying? He's saying to men, it's not even a sermon. This is just his observations. This is just a guy without Christ looking and seeing the state of the Christian church. I'm not going to discount this man because he's seeing, I'm not going to discount him just because his foundation is crooked. It seemed like he's trying to figure this stuff out. But the fact that he's seeing and saying what we are not seeing, or we're choosing not to see and we're choosing not to say, is a problem for me. The fact that, and he's not the only one seeing and saying these things. You got Michael Foster, Doug Wilson, you got Tony Evans, the Kingdom Man, you got Brian Tome, or Tomey, however you say his name. You have Stu Weber, who wrote Tender Warrior. There's a whole lot of things. What is his name? He wrote Wild at Heart. There's men seeing the thirst, Blood Brothers. There's men seeing the thirst, seeing the hunger, seeing the desert out here for biblical masculine things, and we're calling out Restoring Heroes Project. We're calling it out, and we're seeing and saying these things. And it shouldn't take, but it does sometimes, Jordan Peterson or someone else to say what we need to be seeing, or seeing what we need to be seeing and saying what we need to be saying. That's all I'm saying.
What if it was incumbent upon you and vital to your health and willingness even to live to rescue your dead father from the belly of the beast where he has always resided and to restore?
That's, I don't even know what he's talking about right there. Let's keep it going.
Restore him to life. Once again, to the churches, Protestant, you're the worst at the moment. Catholic, Orthodox, invite young men, put up a billboard, say, young men are welcome here. Print some flyers and put them in a box by the billboard. Signal the existence of those flyers with an arrow with the words, more information about attending here. Tell those who have never been in a church exactly what to do, how to dress, when to show up, who to contact, and most importantly, what they can do. Ask more, not less, of those you are inviting. Ask more of them than anyone ever has.
Challenge men. Challenge the men. Challenge the men. Challenge the men with more than just bring your kid to youth group. Challenge your man with more than just coming to church on Sunday. Challenge the man with more than just, hey, how you doing? How was your week? Challenge your man to get to know other men, to take chances with other men so you can grow in relationship and brotherhood with men. Challenge them. Challenge them to do more. Challenge them to be doers and not just hearers of the word. Challenge them. Challenge them. Now I ask you again, before we head out, is Jordan Peterson wrong? Even though he had a crooked, even though he starts with a crooked foundation, there was some weird philosophy stuff in there about the father and in the belly of the thing. I think he's thinking about Pinocchio or something like that. Is he wrong though? Or is he seeing and saying things that the church has been blind to and silent on? And that's all I got to say about that, heroes. Until next time, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong out there. And lead your families, slay dragons, and obey Christ. What?